Good morning. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to bring the word today. We are praying blessings and over our Pastor Gene, who gets to be in Phoenix, bringing the word at Pastor TJ and Courtney's house, house of their church. Okay.
Same thing. They probably live there.
Yeah, like the rest of us. As far as we've been on a summer series of Bold Faith, if you have been blessed by that, this summer series of Pastor Gene, can you just, if he can feel it, he can feel it, like give yourself a round of applause, give him a, like, just, there we go. We've been blessed, and this is no different. This will be, our message will be an extension of that Bold Faith, but it's gonna be a faith of looking inward, at reflecting. Title of our message today is A Rhythm of Reflection. You know, as we get, there's certain seasons of the year that we tend to reflect a little bit more, or we look back a little bit more. And the start of the school year is one of those for me. As our school year starts, as our rhythm changes in our home, that's what we call them. Whether those are good habits, whether those are bad habits, whether those are things that just, how does your daily life go? What is that rhythm? And we were in that rhythm of reflection. What you're doing is you're looking back to move forward. And so that's what today in our faith, what we're talking about, building that bold faith. We're looking back at right now, where are we? Where are we going? Where does God have us? And I'll go ahead and have him put up that next picture. So for 2 years, our group of 10 of us were preparing to go this last summer. There were three graduating seniors that were on this trip with us. We got to go on a Mediterranean cruise. It was the best of times and the worst of times. When you pull up to a new port every day, you're making it up as you go along. I'm a bit of a control enthusiast, so for me, that was my first order of business every morning is to open the curtains. Hopefully, we're on the port side where I can see everything, and I'm making a plan. I am making a plan, and this was no different. This is Mykonos, Greece. It is a beautiful, beautiful beach that we got. We wanted to go and see. That was our beach day, our only beach day, and you can see the cruise ship, okay? So this is where we're getting off. It was also a new port, so as I'm watching this unfold, and it was a little bit later morning, and so I watch everything. I'm waiting for the taxis to come to this port, and no taxis came. I'm waiting for, like, the shuttle buses, some type of public transportation. It never came. And I'm going, okay. So I look at Joe and I'm like, hey, do you see this? I've charted our course already. Do you see this road that goes all the way this way? He goes, yeah. Okay, we have to take that to go all the way here to get to our destination. He's like, No, we don't.
From where we were sitting looking out the window, I was like, there's a path. I can see it. We can cut through. And I'm like, we can just get in the ocean and swim. I'm like, it's literally right there.
He was calling out
every
single possible shortcut. He's like, well, I mean, they've kind of made a halfway path, and we could just make the rest. I mean, you know, we could just scale the side of this cliff.
It didn't look that big from the window of the cruise ship. It looked pretty small, but when we got close, it was much bigger. Much, much bigger.
Glad we didn't. We go to breakfast and he's still making these plans. By this point, I have just stopped listening. I'm just supporting him as the nice silent wife, patting him. It's going to be okay. And I've reconciled that we are going to be going backwards. And this was not a large road. We are scaling a side road that has no shoulder to then scale the rest of the side road that has no shoulder.
And when Google Maps says mostly flat,
don't believe them.
Don't believe it. It was not flat at all. It was straight up and
Google
straight
lied.
Down. Maybe the ground was flat where you were standing, but man, there was some elevation. It was quite awesome.
We were working out. But this beautiful thing happened when we were looking at this, this beautiful scenery that was up. God said, you know, that road, the way you have to go back to go forward, that can preach. Think about the implications in our lives when we look back, when we take stock, when we are honest with ourselves and honest with our Heavenly Father and go, okay, Lord, I'm going to have insane courage, and I'm going to look back. I'm going to bold faith, and I'm going to look back. All right, let's jump right into our scripture for the day. It is in Haggai. So what we're following here is we're going to join the prophet Haggai and the Israelites. So I want to make sure I give you some context of where we are. So before Haggai was even on the scene, Israel had lost everything. I mean, for generations, the Israelites and God's people had repeatedly turned away from God. And eventually, God allowed Babylon to come and conquer Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed. And many of the Jewish people were even carried away as slaves to Babylon. So that's where they are. That's where we're joining this. But at this moment, the Babylonian king says, I give you permission to go back and rebuild. I want you to go back home. So think about, when we compare that with our world, they were being given permission to go back and rebuild. And so what is that for us? Something else that I want to make sure that we know as we enter this word, back then, so right now, we can commune with God. We have a Savior. He came and He saved us and He reconciled us. We can talk to God. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives with us. And so we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father that they didn't have at this point. So when we're reading this, understand that the way that they experienced God was in two ways. One, through the prophets that God sent words through. But then the second way was in His house, His temple. Because our current context of life that would parallel to that is when God says, go back to your home and build my temple, He's saying, build me in you. So when we're seeing this, and we'll keep, that's going to be a thread we take through this story, is that when God's saying, build my temple, understand for us, because we are the temple, He is saying, build me in you, as we reflect on that. So let's jump right in. Haggai 1, 2 through 7. And we'll stop a couple times and bring a couple points out. So this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Okay, now as I'm reading this, I'm similar to Pastor Gene in that I kind of hear, I hear the levity or I hear the backstory. So in this, understand God is saying to Haggai, these people. And I feel like as a parent where I'm saying, oh, these teenagers. Not as much anymore, I promise. But these teenagers. And so what God is saying, these people, my people, the Israelites, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. So they went back home. They were given permission and God blessed them. They went back home, but they didn't start rebuilding the house. Their focus, their rhythm was off. And so He's saying to Haggai, they're not starting to rebuild my house. They're starting to rebuild their own. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to say to His people, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? So God said to the Israelites through Haggai, what are we doing? Like, okay, where are we really? You're going to start building your personal home. You're going to start amassing your own wealth. You're going to start building your own fortune. You're going to build your own house, your own family, your own whatever influence. If we take it to our current, you're going to start building your own. But my house, or understand God in us, remains a ruin. Now, this is what Almighty God says. Give careful thought to your ways. I don't know about you, but if there's ever an alarm bell that goes off in my head when my Heavenly Father says, give careful thought to your ways. That is an insistence upon a reflection moment, a rhythm of reflection. I better look back because he's asking me to give careful thought. And you'll notice, we'll get there, that he doesn't just say this once. So let's go on. Give careful thought to your ways. And then he gives some context for the Israelites to understand this. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you're never filled. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Let's stop for a second. Let's live where we live. This is how we feel. This is how, if we look back in our lives, we feel empty. We feel alone. We feel something's missing. I'm doing this. I'm striving for this. I'm adding this. I'm doing this. But we never feel enough. We never feel satiated, satisfied, settled. Well, posing a question, are we building God in us or are we building our own lives so we labor in vain? Going on to the last seven, verse seven. This is what the Lord Almighty still continues to say through Haggai. This is the second time. And I don't know about you, but it's one of those verily, verily moments in the Bible. If God says it twice, yes, sir. Yes, Abba, what can I do for you? Give careful thought to your ways. And then he's like, okay, so now I said it to you once, but I'm going to say it again because I don't think you got it the first time. So I'll just give you a second, maybe a little redirect moment. So go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So he gives them another reminder of what to do. Okay. Using this in our lives, let's go ahead and go to the next one. What was God saying in all of this? If we could sum it up to five statements, if there were, if I'm looking at my own life and I'm in a rhythm of reflection, and I'm looking back, I'm going backwards to be able to purposefully with precision in the presence of my Heavenly Father move forward. What is he saying? Stop. It's kind of what I said to Joe when he was trying to fish us over to the side of the beach or scale the stop. Do you know what I find most interesting about the stop is how often, what is the first thing the enemy tries to take? Because, you know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We feel busy. We feel constant. We don't feel settled, safe, satiated. So he says, stop. Look at your life. Look at what you're building, your paneled houses. You don't feel warm. You harvest, but nothing is there because I'm not blessing it. If I'm not in it, you don't want it. So stop. Look at your life. Consider your ways. Then make changes. He doesn't say, maybe. I think it's quite possible that you might want to. Possibly, however, with slight thought. No, he says, make changes, then rebuild. So God's saying, it's not. I'm not telling you, maybe. I'm saying it's time to make some changes. When you are walking backwards to go forward, to be in my presence, to be where I want you to be in the steps order of the Lord, it's time to make some changes and then rebuild. And also understand that for us, that's our lives, and how much is he present in our lives? Couple more questions. In this, we can go to the next one. Let's ask ourselves, and this on its own could probably have its own entire series, because we do stop and we do shift our focus often. But I want to list out three reasons we do that. Because sometimes it's not about the what in like, where are we? It's about the, how do we get here? How, God's sending me back to rebuild. How did I get here in the first place? And some of these aren't that self-shame piece that we do, where we just layer on our own shame. It's me, I'm bad. Sometimes it's just that you have come into opposition. You're coming up against opposition, something hard. It is stopping you. Fear and discouragement. So sometimes it's not a matter of saying, God, why do I need to go backwards? What's going on? What did I do? It's, okay, God, I acknowledge that I got here because something opposed me, or I am afraid and I am discouraged, Lord. And he says, but I am all that I am. I am all. I am your everything. I don't stop. I have your sustenance. I have your settling. I have everything you need. So recognize that if these are one of these things that you, as you're looking back on, why did I stop? Why did I shift my focus? Why did I stop trusting and leaning in God? God, I lift to you the opposition. It's too heavy for me. I lift my fear. I lift my discouragement. And I acknowledge where you want to take me, God, is bigger than anything I can do on my own. And you like it that way. That's how you want it. Next one. I want to speak to all, you can go to the next slide. I want to speak to all those of us in the room who think God's messages say, work harder, do better, be more. If you're one of that is my response in life. Okay, God, I will work harder, do better, be more. There was no place in that scripture through the prophet Haggai that God was saying, work harder, do better, be more. Because that is egocentric. That is us. That is humanity. But what he's trying to remind us is, you're rebuilding me in you, me in your life, me in your daily rhythm, me in where you're going. So last question. When we are looking back to move forward, we have to acknowledge some things. And again, it is that bold faith to look inward. Right now, in your current place, as you're looking back, what's God saying as you need to rebuild? The Bible says, go and sin no more. Is it an area of sin? You know, we don't talk about that often, but understand, because I have a Savior who came and who won my life, who reconciled me to my Heavenly Father, who gave me a new life. I can look at myself with a brave confidence in my Lord, knowing, God, if I need to ask forgiveness for something, you'll meet me there. You'll meet me in that moment. As you look back to go forward, is it a rhythm tweak? Has something in your world, in your daily walk, just gotten off? Maybe I stopped doing this and I started doing this instead. Maybe I just need a slight tweak. God challenged me this school year. I love my victory news. I like to stay up to date. I like to know what's going on, and I watch it on the way to work. So in my rhythm of reflection, as I try to spend more time with God as we start the school year, he was like, yeah, you need to cut that out. But God, I mean, it's the news. And they talk about it. They quote scripture. I mean, is that not just really extension to my Bible time? I don't know about you. I'm probably the only person that ever negotiates with God, or is like, you know, we have this talk back moment. Then I kind of hear him laughing and I'm like, yeah, you're right. So he said, that doesn't serve you. That doesn't serve me. And it doesn't serve the building that you're walking into. I want worship music all the way there. Well, you'd think that wouldn't be a big deal. But it really, that one tweak on my daily rhythm has helped God in me to then move God through me. Because understand, he's not trying to get it to you, just like Pastor Gene says, just so you can be it's all me. He's trying to get it to you so he can get it through you. And then one last one. Where am I not generally on a daily basis embodying my Savior? Language, social media, treatment of other people, relationships, where I go, what I do. Those are questions that can definitely lead us to a place of authentically looking back. And then maybe, though, you need to look back with community.
So it takes bold faith to look back. Some of us are scared to look back. I know I am. I don't typically, Jenna's very good at being able to sit at the end of her day and kind of replay the day and go over, you know, what happened. I am not. Typically, when I get home, I forgot what I had for lunch. I mean, it's like, it's a blur for me. And so sometimes we need a little help to look back. And that's part of the reason why, like, you know, God sent the prophets to talk to the Israelites, to tell them what's going on, because a lot of them were just kind of like, you know, they just didn't understand, or they didn't know, or what. But so God sent these prophets. And so Haggai, you know, he comes and he prophesies and he speaks to the children of Israel on behalf of God and says, hey, listen, it's time to go back and do what we said we were going to do. And that's build the temple of God. But sometimes we need a little extra help. Children of Israel needed a prophet. Some of us, we need a little help, because a lot of times maybe we're oblivious, like me. You know, sometimes you get kind of like in your rhythm and you're doing your thing and you're oblivious. Some of, like maybe the children of Israel, maybe half of them didn't hear or understand exactly what it meant was to go back and build a temple. Maybe you're distracted. These are all me, by the way. Maybe you can be distracted. I mean, I get a little hyper-focused on some things. So a lot of times, if there is something going on, and my daughter's laughing because she knows exactly what this is about. So last week, we were doing some work in the yard, and I lost a small piece to a battery-operated chainsaw. And I could not move past it, because it consumed me. I hyper-focused on, I have to find this piece. I have to get done. I have four other things that I had to get done that week. But it was like, no, I got to find this little wing nut. And I looked and I searched. I had the kids looking and searching. I had the wife looking and searching. And finally, Jen's like, will you just take a breath and forget about it and move on? Just get in the pool. Come on, just get in the pool. And then finally, I had to like, so it took Jen to kind of like, hit the record, because I was just skipping, you know, I was in the circle. So sometimes we need some help. Sometimes we can be selfish, so we just choose the thing that we want, knowing that we're being disobedient to the thing that we're supposed to do. Sometimes we're just selfish and we're inward focused. And so sometimes it takes, you know, a spouse to say stop, right? All the married men say amen. But sometimes it takes a friend to say, hey, listen, I think you're being a little self-centered on what you're doing. So just like this is all, you know, coming down and God is talking to the children of Israel and saying, hey, it's time to go back. We're going to use bold faith and just conveniently, you know, we're getting ready to start small groups. And what an awesome opportunity for us to have some help with us looking back as we can move forward. If you don't mind, I want to give you a little introduction on what our small groups here at Destiny Church are. Small groups here at Destiny Church are what we call interest-based. They're like a free market. So some of them are Bible studies. Some of them are plans to get together, play games. We typically try to do a fall session and a spring session. So we do two sessions a year. We're asking for 10 weeks. But honestly, a lot of our small groups only meet once every other week. Some of them do meet weekly. But the idea behind it is we want to encourage you to get connected in some connection point outside of just Sunday morning. Sunday morning is amazing. We have a great opportunity to come and worship together, one with another. We get to worship with an amazing worship team. We get to hear Pastor Gene teach, and it's awesome. But there's something about being in a smaller group or in a different study throughout the week with a smaller group of people, because you start to get to know one another, you start to build that relationship one with another. And then what it does is it allows you to have someone who can help you with your looking back in order for you to move forward. It allows you to have someone that can come and encourage you. We have a model that we use here. It's called the ESPN model, and it's basically in all of our groups, we want some form of encouragement. We want you to encourage one another. We have ESPN, so we have scripture. There is some scripture that is going to be taught or studied or looked over. Some people choose curriculum. Some people will choose a verse of the day, and some people will find scriptures that are allowing, you know, that it means something to them, and we talk about that. Then secondly, we're going to pray one for another. We're going to lean on one another. We're going to lift each other's burdens up, because basically Paul, when he was writing to the church in Philippians, how did I not put that in there? It's up there though, isn't it? Doggone it. When Paul was writing to the church of Philippians, he kind of put this all kind of in one sentence. And I liked what he said. This is, I believe, in verse 4, chapter 2. But he said, not only should you look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. And so that's why we're here. We're not just here to receive. We're here to receive so we can pour out. And so small groups is an awesome opportunity to keep this in the forefront of our mind and moving in the right direction. So if you have in front of you the Tap to Connect, there is actually a chart that has the small groups that we are offering here in the fall. But we have small groups that encompass family and marriage. There's some study and topical ones. We have a financial peace is actually going to be offered this semester. Spiritual growth, there's activities based if you like to do activities and things like that. I think these are going to be, I know we got a basketball one if you like to play basketball, and they meet and they have a Bible time there in the basketball. But there's just something about being in a community outside of just this Sunday morning. And actually, I'm going to ask, if you head up or lead one of our small groups or one of the ministries like Bible study or any of the ministries that meet throughout the week here, would you guys just stand for me real quick? And everybody just kind of look around and see those who are leading groups outside. Will you just give them a hand for saying, yes, I'm here for other people? Thank you, guys.
Can we have our volunteers go ahead and come on out? So we're going to bring this to a close. You know, as we look back, thank you to our volunteers. You know, it takes bold faith to look back at our life, to go back. We do that with our Savior. He came to save us. He died for us. But between Christ, our relationship with Him, and the community that we have here with the body of Christ, that's what changes us. That's what impacts us. That's what helps us to look back. I don't know about you, but there are times when I've stood with someone, I've prayed with someone, I've been in community with someone that I could not have done that, faced that, been there, gone there, anything without them. We are the body of Christ. And what the body of Christ does for us is this. Each one of these people up here, this is their personal testimony. This is where they were. Understand that as they were looking back, going back, reflecting, built the understanding, where did God build, where am I building God in me? This is what they came to. Then go ahead and flip those over. Take a second. You probably identified with one, two, all of them on the back of it. Different seasons of my life, I would say that I echoed the same thing. but God. I learned to surrender. I found my identity in Jesus. God was just getting started, and I learned to trust God. Know that, one, you are not alone. You don't walk this alone. You don't do this alone. God is with you. We are with you. In the context of community, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, guys. As we close this out, I just want to pray over you, and then I'm going to turn it over to Joe. Father God, as we, with insane courage and bold faith, look back on our lives right now. God, let the thing that needs to bubble up to the top, to our mind, let the thing that is keeping us from moving to the place you have us, let that come right now, Lord. Bring it, quicken that to our minds. And then God, as we see that thing, as we, maybe, God, it's a relationship. Like, God, I'm just struggling in that relationship. God, I don't know what tomorrow looks like. God, I don't know. And then fill in the blank. But God, you turn all of our, I don't know how that's gonna happen. I don't know how that's gonna work, God. You turn that around and you say, but with me, all things are possible. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I don't need you to please more and work harder or try. I just need you to come to me and let me help you rebuild and make changes. So, Father God, I pray that over your people right now, that they hear your voice and they are invited into a season of rhythm, a rhythm of reflection.
Jesus. As you keep your heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I want you, maybe you're here tonight or this morning, and maybe you are looking back at your life and you realize that you've never asked the Lord to take away your sins and to be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that there's some stuff in your past that you need to get covered under the blood of Jesus in order for you to move forward. And so if that's you, I would like for you just to slip your hands up this morning, and you're asking God to forgive you of your sins, and you are making a choice today. You're making a decision to say, today is the day. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to pray this prayer together. The Christians around us, we're going to pray as well, too. Nobody prays alone. You're not in this alone, but we're going to pray together, and you're going to repeat after me. You're going to say, Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe that you are the Messiah.
I believe that you are the Messiah.
And I know that I am a sinner.
I know that I am a sinner.
But God, you are the Savior.
You are the Savior.
Jesus, you are the Savior.
You are my Savior.
You died on the cross for my sin.
You died on the cross for my sin.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
On the third day.
On the third day.
I turn away from my sin.
I turn away from my sin.
And I repent of it.
I repent of it.
I am sorry.
I am sorry.
And I choose to follow you.
I choose to follow you.
From this moment forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' name. Everybody
Jesus.
Said.
Amen.
Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. You can be, you can stand. You're already seated. So you can stand all over the congregation here. Come stand to your feet. If you said that prayer for the very first time, I want to invite you to go to our hub, which is out here under the big TV. We have a booklet. It's got some notes in there from the pastoral staff, but also it has a 21-day Bible study. That kind of says, you know, what's next for you? And so we encourage you to pick this up. We encourage you to understand that it takes bold faith to look back and see where we need to do, make some changes, get back on the right track and get back to where we're going so we can be powerhouses for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank
you
so much.
Have a great day.